Well, we started a series a few weeks ago, the last Sunday of 2017, that we called Guard Your Heart. And so we've got a little ways into this. Let's go ahead and turn over to Proverbs 4:20. I'll put it up on the screen and it's on your sheet. Proverbs 4:20. Proverbs 4:20. It says there, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." Now we read these verses and we focused in on verse 23. But let's just go back to verse 20 and come through this a little bit, and then there's a few things we'll touch on a little bit more. But go back to verse 20. It says, "My son, give attention to," what?
"My words."
My words. "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." He said, give attention to my words. And like we said last week, there are a lot of words. There are a lot of voices in the world. Everybody realize that?
Yeah.
We know that, right? There's so much noise in the world vying for your attention. And he said, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Are you guys believing with me? There's so much that I have this morning. I just want to get it out right. I don't want to jump ahead. I got to go. We got to build on the things we need to build on to get to the right place. I can't just speak out everything. You can't just jump ahead because it won't mean the same to you. But just that's why we believe God. We're not going to jump ahead just to jump ahead either. We'll take time where we need to take time. But that's why you just be believing with me.
Amen.
"My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life." What are life? His words. There are a lot of words, a lot of philosophies, a lot of doctrines in the world, but unless they're God's words, they don't bring life.
Amen.
Now, they may appear like they do. They may seem like they do for a little bit. But, you know, it's kind of like certain foods you eat. Might go down smooth. But you wait a few minutes or a few hours and it bites you. Right? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Varies for different people, but then there are certain things that just no matter who you are, might taste real good, but you know what? It'll kill you. There are things like that, ideas and words and doctrines as well. They're counterfeits. They're not God. You know, Satan is a deceiver. He's a counterfeit. He's a con. What does a con do? Looks like the real thing. But it's not. And that's what Satan does. And he's smart. He's wicked smart. In every way you can take that. He's wicked, he's smart, and just like people say out here, he's wicked smart. He is. Now that's not putting him up. He is a being. You talk about analyzing human behavior. He's seen them live and die for centuries, millennia. He can see you coming so far away, just like you could mess with a three-year-old. You know, you can play with kids, right? You can tap them on the shoulder and they don't know what's going on. You could do all kinds of stuff because you've been around. And you know, this trick where you You put something, you know, you go, what's that on your shirt? And they look down and you hit them in the face, you know? You know what I'm talking about, right? Everybody knows that. I go like that, they're a little kid, they look down and, you know, you. Well, a kid's never seen it. What are they going to do? They're going to look right down. You can get any number of kids, and if they haven't seen that, even if they have and they don't know you, they might think you're serious. You can trick them, right? That's what you look like to the devil. In your natural self, that's what you look like. Now hold on here. Devil in big, but if you try to get in his arena, he'll crush you. He's way smarter than you are. And if you don't respect that and you think he's a fool, you will be deceived. Because you look like less than a three-year-old to him. Look at this. They think they know something. Oh, that's the best kind. You think you know what you're doing? Because he can mess you up royally. You're coming. He goes, watch this. What's that on your shirt? And you're 40, you're 50, you think you know something. But you're a human. He's seen all kinds of you come and go. He was around in the 1800s. He was around when Jesus walked the earth. He was around before that. He's seen many people come and go. And he knows the tricks you have not seen. And you try to come up against him and your intellect, you're not sufficient. You are so far outgunned, it's not even funny.
Amen.
Why I say all that? So you'll just run from the devil? No, but you have to respect the intelligence that you're dealing with. If you think you're going to go toe-to-toe with a being that's been here we don't know how long and knows men, and his goal is to kill you, and you think you have not seen this life once, and you think you're going to go up against somebody that's seen person after people and has been here for thousands of years at least, and you think in your little self, your intellect, because you're real smart, you're going to go up against him, he will crush you. He'll have you chasing your tail so bad, it won't even be funny. He does this to people all the time. What am I saying, though? Is he so big? Not compared to God. God has been always. Satan's a created being. God's the Almighty. Now, if we're children of God, we need to listen to what he said, because God's word will stand through all the nonsense and all the trickery of the devil. So this is the good news. Satan will try to get you off what he said. But if you stick to God, you can't be defeated. Period. Cannot. But Satan tries to get you off in the weeds. Because if he can get you off by yourself and get you to listen to his thoughts, he will kill you. Now, what does it say here? It says, go back to verse 20, give attention to my words. Not all words, mine. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. Yes. Not everything is life. Not the newest thing that they're selling. Not the newest study. Not the newest ideas. God's word, those are life. Amen. They are life.
Amen.
Stuff may look like life, and people go and buy it in droves, and then they find out 10 years later, it will kill you. Look at cigarettes. In the 1900s, at the beginning, everybody's smoking. They don't realize it's going to kill them, like to the degree that it causes cancer. You know, the 1920s, 30s, everybody's smoking. Now, people listen to the Spirit of God, and they realize that's not a good thing. They're not going to, but there's a lot of people, they didn't realize what it actually would do. And there's people that are telling you to do certain things right now, and if you listen to them, you'll find, people find out 10 years, 30 years from now, oh, that was wrong. How many diets have come and gone? Get this out of your diet. Get that out of your diet. Focus on this. And then they realize, actually, you're in a deficiency if you don't get that stuff. It was actually good, and then it flips and it flops, and how are you going to know? You got to listen to the Spirit of God. Well, it's the same thing with His Word and His Spirit. There are things, all kinds of things that are available that sound good, but all they are repackaged men's ideas and doctrines or psychology. And if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it won't bring life. Verse 22, they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, we skip down to verse 23 in the New Living Translation, please, because this is where we started. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Read the rest of it in the New Living Translation there. Verse 24, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Now notice that. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. You realize there are paths that aren't safe. May look safe, but they lead to death. Verse 27, don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Notice that. Don't get sidetracked. Now we're going to talk about a few of these things. We just read, it's His words that bring life. Keep your heart with all diligence. In other words, be careful what you let in your heart. Stay focused. And then in these last few verses, look straight ahead. Don't get sidetracked. Stay on the safe path. Now, we touched a few of these things I'm going to get into. We touched on, but I really, we'll see how far we get, but I'm driving at a certain place. So do you guys just believe with me that we're getting out the right thing? Look at 2 Corinthians 11. Let's look at it on your sheet. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. It says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve in his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you have a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. But notice verse 2, I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I betrothed to you one husband. Betrothed you to one husband. One. Everybody say one. That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, what we were just talking about, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. From the simplicity. Do you realize Satan wants to get you off? What we are just saying, God is telling us, you listen to my words. You don't get sidetracked, you don't go to the right or left, but Satan, he wants to get you away from God's word. He wants to confuse you. He wants you to get sidetracked. And he does this in a number of ways. Now this word, simplicity, I read some of these things last time. But I want to spend some time here, and we're going to get into a few things. We're going to go through some scriptures, but there's some things that I want to get from my heart to yours. I believe God has put on my heart that really changed me, But that I see, well, I see these things from here. I'll read this to you. It says, verse 3, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now that word simplicity, and down here, I'll show you this. Look real quick on your sheet. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12. It says, for our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience is that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity. Notice this, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly toward you. For we are not writing any other things to you than what you read and or understand. Now I trust you will understand even to the end, as you also understood us in part, that we are your boast as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now that first part is what I want you to see. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in worldly simplicity and godly sincerity. And we saw the other scripture in 2 Corinthians, it talked about that your minds may not be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, I want to focus on some of this and read some other scriptures, but the word simplicity, in the margin of my Bible there, it says the opposite of duplicity. Now, you can see where Paul here was saying, look, we conducted ourselves in simplicity. We weren't trying to deceive you. We weren't being two-faced. It was simple. But also what that carries with us when you see where it says that we would make that Satan would try to corrupt you from the simplicity that is in Christ is that he's trying to get you out of just a single-mindedness and simple, in this terms, life of God, toward God. He said, I've betrothed you to one husband. I want you to focus on him. Don't get sidetracked. You don't go to the right or the left. You're supposed to be simple in that sense. Now, I want to read you some definitions, because when you talk about simple, and in this day and age, that can be a derogatory thing. Now, just listen to me about this. Because people want to be complex and in the know about stuff. Well-traveled, informed, educated in the sense of education is good, in the sense you want to be educated in the vein that God would have you be educated for what you need to do for Him. Education for education's sake can just mess you up. It's not a good thing in and of itself, because you could get educated in totally the wrong thing and it just messes your whole life up. But there's this idea that, you know, simple in these terms doesn't carry with it a good connotation necessarily. Kind of like, you know, unsophisticated could be. And we're dealing with this in our day and age. Now I want to read you some definition. Simplicity is the state of being simple, uncomplicated, uncompounded. Some definition of simple then: free from guile, innocent. And this is kind of, some of these things are good, but some of them, some people, you know, they have the idea of some of these things, so they shy away. When you say simple, they have a bad idea of it. Of humble origin or modest position, like a simple farmer. Lacking in knowledge or expertise, a simple amateur in the arts. Or there's a definition that means stupid. Those are definitions of simple. But it also means free from secondary complications. It means sheer, unmixed, straight. It means constituting a basic element, fundamental. See, when you make stuff actually simple, you realize to make something simple is actually very difficult. To make a complex idea simple for people to understand is the hardest thing. If you can explain something simply, that means you actually know what you're talking about. If you barely know what you're talking about and try to explain it to somebody, you realize you really don't know what you're talking about. Because you're using all this stuff and you know it about this deep, so you got to use all these complicated terms, and you don't know enough to translate it into something to bridge the gap with somebody else. I know this. I have a software engineering background. Some of the simplest user interfaces, the way you interact with the program, are the most complicated to actually develop. You think, oh, this is obvious. No, it's not obvious. The obvious thing is to make it super complicated. When you see something that's really easy to use and sharp, there's a lot of thought that went into it. And it is a lot of times the hardest thing to program, because to make it simple for the user, you're doing gymnastics behind the scenes to make all this stuff connected. The easiest thing would be just to expose it just the way you have it programmed. And that means they get everything, but they don't know where everything is. But when you see it all tied together and balls have to do this and 15 things go on in the background, somebody put a lot of effort into that. So simple is not a bad thing. Elegant, clean, it's not a bad thing. God wants us to live simple lives. In that case, you can see it. I'm going to read more scriptures. You can just see it from the scriptures we've read. He said, focus on me. Does that sound complicated? Yeah, but there's 18,000 things going on here. And what do you say? Just you focus on what I'm saying. You said you do what I tell you to do. Let's read, let's just go on your sheet, read some of these things. These things are the opposite, fly right in the face of a lot of things in our culture and in the world. People don't like what we're about to say, but it's the Bible and it's godly. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Read it on your sheet. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Does that sound complicated? Verse 6, and these words which I command you shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What's he saying? Throughout your day, everywhere you go, whatever you do, you should be focused on what he said. When you're having conversations around the dinner table, when you're driving, what kind of music do you have playing? What kind of things do you talk about? God is saying here in His Word, it should be focused on Him. Not everything else. Does that sound complicated? It's singled up on him. Let's read Mark 12, 28. It says, Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceived that he had answered them, and asked them, Which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, First of all, the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. What we just read, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. He's saying, you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, with all your being. Kind of like what we were talking about in the offering. You are, everything you have is at His disposal. And you're saying, God, I'm serving you. What does that mean? Whatever. I bow my knee to you. That's what somebody being your Lord is. If he's our Lord, that means you want it, you can have it. Now he, if it's him, he's not going to lead you to destruction. You don't ever have to be worried about God leading you in a direction that's going to hurt you. It takes faith, but it will never hurt you. People, you know, we just talk about offerings for a second and giving. God's not going to hurt you. He's not going to be the one that pulls you to give all your money in a certain direction that would hurt you. Either you're, if you think that's the case, people get emotional about giving, and you have to watch that. You can have the right motive, but not use any kind of balance in your head and give what you can't give, what you don't have the faith to give. I've done it. You've probably done it. But that's not, we don't blame that on God. You can have a heart after God, and you can, now he could stretch you, say, yeah, I want you to give that, and you have to walk in faith. But you got to know that's him. In other words, somebody will think it's that, when actually they're excited about the service, and so they're going to give $5,000, and they don't have it. Or they have it, and that just emptied, you know, some account. Well, if it's God, then by all means, do it. But that takes time over time. If we're following him, it will never hurt us. It'll come back, and he is just setting you up to succeed. He knows you need to invest that. It's the same with every area. You are never going to lose by being all in with God.
Amen.
It, like Brother Hagin would say, it does not cost to serve God, it pays. Now, like he also would say, he doesn't necessarily settle up every Saturday night, but he always settles up. Man that walked after God. It does not cost to serve him. Well, I'm just going to reserve this for myself. That's not what the Bible says. But like I was using the example, you use wisdom in the sense of not unbelief, because some people use wisdom in place, they'll say, well, you walk in wisdom. What they're really talking about is they don't actually believe God. But you also, you just, hey, if you're going to give a big gift, then, and you've never done that before, sit on it. And make sure it's God day after day. I would not make some, I mean, God knows where you're at, okay? I don't know why we're talking about this, but we'll just touch on it, okay? God knows you, and he knows your maturity level in all areas. So if you've never done anything like something before and all of a sudden you think you feel pressured just to give something on the spur of the moment, but you've never touched that, I would question if God is actually telling you, because if he would tell you on the spur of the moment to give something big, that means he's already prepared you and you've done something like that before, so you can make that decision that fast. Right? Now, you know this in the natural. If you've never done certain things, it takes you longer to figure out, am I doing the right? How do I navigate this? But if you've done something over and over, you can do it quickly. Well, God, it's the same thing with spiritual things. God grows us up little by little. So this will help you not get caught in a trap, because some people have overextended themselves because they think it's, quote, the Spirit of God in a service, and they're going to give all this money, and they just feel it's God, and it's really, it could be emotion. It could be just pressure, whatever, and they feel like they should give, but they've never given anything like that. And then you know what happens? They get home. After a while, they regret it. They are mad at themselves. People have fights about it because they went too far too fast. And if you scale it back and say, what can I believe right now to give? Sometimes that just takes you cutting off your pride too, because you just want to be able to do something. You scale it back and you say, I can do this. This is why I can believe, and that's still good. And you know what? You grow little by little. So there might come a day where you give that exact same amount, but you've already prepared and you said, yep, that's what, and I've had that happen to me. Yep, we're going to do that. I say it like this, and I know he wouldn't mind me telling him because he said it from the pulpit, but my pastor, former pastor in Nebraska, Pastor Gil Kislig, he tells a story just like this. He and his wife, Emily, were in a camp meeting, at Ramah's camp meeting a long time ago. And they were in a service, and they had been down there for some time, but he was like, I want to give $1,000, and it was $1,000 in this offering. And he was all ready to give and whatever, and his wife, loving wife that she is, she said, "You don't have the faith to give $1,000. Ooh, it ticked him off. Because he wanted to put $1,000 in the offering. So you don't have the faith. We're not there. And he cooled down or whatever, and they talked, and I can't remember if he said it to her or she said it, but it was like, "What about 500? Yep, that we can do that." And they agreed. And when you are giving and you are married to someone that also is with the finances, you ought to agree. Amen. If you give and you say, "Honey, this is God, I'm going to do it anyway." Woo! I seriously question whether it's God. God will not push his way. He won't. He won't blow you up. I mean, if Pastor Gil would have said, "Woman, get behind me, I'm giving this anyway." Well, he's going home with her. And when there's not money to pay something, guess what? What is he going to hear? Huh? But he didn't do that. He said, "You're right." And they gave it. And you know what? They went on after that. I'll tell you what, when we do, just practically speaking, Shelly and I, you know, I'll say, "You think about it, I'll think about it." When we have guest speakers, when we're somewhere else, you get a number, I'll get a number. And then let's talk. And usually we're, okay, we have a lot of time, we have the same thing. But otherwise, she'll say, I'll say it, and I'll say something, and it's like, yep. If they're off, if they're different, we'll just sit, and we'll go to one of the other ways and say, "Yep, that feels good." And then we go in, we agree it, and you can feel good about it. I don't know why we're getting here, but we'll wrap this up. Not the whole sermon, but in this part. Yeah, you're thinking, "Well, that's short." No, this topic. But I used to. I tell you what, I've given too much. And I've learned the hard way. Done exactly what I'm telling you about. And you're emotional and you want to give, and then you know what? Okay. And then you pay for it for a while, literally. Because you wanted to give that. And you know what? You weren't there. And then you feel bad about it. And you just, you know, you wish you wouldn't have done that. It's too much. And why did I do that? And I've had all that conversation with myself. And it's not a fun place to be. But we learned over time. And then when you go in, and if you know, there's something coming up and you know about it ahead of time. You know there's a guest speaker coming up. You know you're going to be going to a meeting. Think about it beforehand. Pray about it. Get it settled in your heart and bring it in faith. God is not twisting your arm. He knows where you are at financially. We'll never twist your arm. Give what you can give in faith. And if everybody just does that, the needs are always met. Because I don't want you thinking. I wouldn't want somebody to think go through what I've felt. It's condemnation. It's confusion. You start resenting the fact that you gave something to the kingdom of God when you're supposed to be happy about it. Your heart's right, but Satan, again, okay, I'm not going to stop you from giving, so if I can get to you give too much, now I can play with your head for the next month about it. And I can get you mad at the ministry because you gave too much. The ministry had nothing to do with it. So I finally got to the point where it's like, no, what can we believe to give and settle on and give confidently? And sometimes it's a stretching amount, but... And sometimes, just mark my words, you feel like, "I'm going to give something." I mean, if you haven't done this for a while, and then you get to the meeting, and oh, lo and behold, several other expenses have popped up, and now it's tighter to give that. But you had already believed you're coming in, you're going to give something, but now just don't know if we have it. And I pushed right through that before. I said, no, we wanted to do this, and this is an opportunity, and we're doing it anyway, and every time I've seen that restored.
Amen.
The enemy will try to put pressure on you to back off and not do what you had in your heart to do, because it's an investment you were going to, and he's going to try to squeeze it on all sides to try to get you to not do what God had put on your heart. But if you'll give and know what you're going, you'll purpose in your heart, you'll go before God, God, whatever you say. But he's going to get you up little by little, and you say, you know what? I really believe we should do this time. And you get an agreement, especially if you're married, and you say, yep, and you come in beforehand, and that's what you're going to do. You write that check or whatever, and you give in faith. God, I love you, and this is what I believe you'd have me get. Boy, there's a good feeling about that. And then, you know what? No aftertaste, no regret. Afterwards, you can go and you know that's what you could give. And you believe that God's going to restore it back, and you are calm. And you already dealt with it beforehand, so Satan tries, and he would still try after we really got to that place and do it, still try to say, oh, you shouldn't have given. I didn't say, shut up, I already determined that. No, I didn't give on a whim. I didn't give out emotion. I purposed in my heart, and I've already dealt with it, and he had no traction. And that's the way we've lived for years. So we got off on that saying, yes, we get, when you say God wants us to love him with all our heart, with everything we have, but you know, with zeal, you want to have wisdom too. Youth, a lot of zeal, not so much wisdom sometimes. That's why it's good to have some gray hairs along with the program too, whatever, business, whatever. So you don't run into the ground. Right? Well, God knows that. Don't have to reprimand him. Just say, just channel it in the right direction. Got a lot of zeal? Well, let's go in the right direction. Well, we love God more than you. We're just into it. Well, you haven't lived much of life yet. If we go at your pace, we're going to be all dead by the, you're going to be dead by the time you're 25. Okay? You got to slow up. You're zealous, but you got to just check it a little bit. Praise God. We'll keep moving. So you shall love the Lord your God. Verse, what are we at? Verse 30. Mark 12, 30. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now look at Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words saying, now this is the beginning of the Ten Commandments. We're not going to read all of them, but this is the first commandment here. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. How many?
No.
Zero. None. No other gods before me. Now, let's go ahead. This is where we want to get into a few things. Deuteronomy 12, 28. Let's go ahead and take time to turn there. Deuteronomy 12. Verse 28. Praise the Lord. God's helping us along. Deuteronomy 12, verse 28. Everybody there? Says, observe and obey all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever, when you do what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. Now verse 29, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them. after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it. Now, verse 32, what does that sound like? Does that sound like Proverbs that we read? Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it and take away from it. You shall not go to the right or the left. Attend to my words. Don't look around. You look straight ahead. You look straight before you. Can you put up Proverbs real quick? Proverbs 4, 24 in the New Living Translation. Let's look at those real quick, and we're going to read this in the New Living Translation. But it was what we read before, but I just want you to see this. Proverbs 4, 25, the New Living Translation. You have it on your sheet, too. It's right about at the beginning. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Look where? Straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. What did God say? When we read in the other verse in Deuteronomy, you love God with what? With all your heart. Everything you have is going toward him. He said, have no other gods before me. Go ahead to the next verse. Mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on what? The safe path. The safe path. That means there's a path that's not safe. Go to the next verse. Don't get what? Sidetracked. Well, do you think it's possible to get sidetracked? Oh, yeah, buddy, it is. Keep your feet from what? Following evil. Now, go back over to Deuteronomy 12, verse 28 in the New Living Translation. So we see in Proverbs, we see what he just said here in Deuteronomy. You look at what I said. Now here, he's giving Israel very specific direction concerning other gods. You got it? Chapter Deuteronomy 12, verse 28, New Living Translation. Be careful to obey all my commands so that all will go well with you. Is that on your sheet or just the next 29? Okay, go to turn 29. When the Lord your God goes ahead of you and destroys the nations, you drive them out, and you drive them out and live in their land, do not fall into the trap of following their customs and worshiping their gods. Do not inquire about their gods. Don't ask about them. Saying, how do these nations worship their gods? How? Well, what? Tell me about it. I want to follow their example. You must not worship the Lord your God the way other nations worship their gods, for they perform for their gods every detestable act that the Lord hates. They even burn their sons and daughters as sacrifices to their gods. Now go back to verse 30. Do not fall into the what? Trap. Everybody say trap. Trap. What do we read? Do not be deceived. Don't be moved away from the simplicity that is in Christ. As Eve, as the devil deceived Eve. It was very simple. Don't eat of that fruit. But Satan made it complicated. This is very simple. We talked about simple? Didn't Proverbs say, you say straight? You go right on the straight path. You do not get sidetracked. You stay on the safe path. You stay on this path. Has anybody, you've been maybe on a camping trip, you've definitely been in school, your teacher, your instructor, whoever was involved, say, you stay on the marked path. That's safe. Maybe you're going through the forest. You stay here, it's safe. You get over here, there's poison ivy, there's poison oak, there could be other things, right? Anybody ever had that? There's a safe path, and then there's stuff you don't know about, but somebody has gone before you and marked out the safe path. Well, I'm just going to go exploring a little bit. How many stories? How many accounts? How many things have happened to people? I just thought I would go check this out. What does it say here? Verse 30, do not fall into the trap of following their customs, the people that they've driven out, and worshiping their gods. Do not inquire about their gods, saying, how do these nations worship their gods? I want to follow their example. Now, let me ask you a question. By the world standards, does this sound close-minded? Yes, it does. What are we told in this day and age we're supposed to be? Open-minded. Have you looked at all the other religions? How do you know yours is right? Anybody ever heard that? What does the Bible say here? Don't go after the other things. You shut your mind and you go after God and you say, forget it. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, but I don't want to be closed-minded. Who said being closed-minded is a bad thing? What did God did God say, you know, whoever you want to throw in before me, you know, as long as I'm one of the gods, I'm good. He said, I want all of it. And I'm a jealous God. That's not a weird thing. He's saying, I don't want you messing around with any. As a spouse, you don't want your spouse doing anything or being involved with anybody else. God is for our own good, and for He is a holy God, and He said, I want everything that you have. Amen. And the world tries to tell us, well, you're just closed-minded. Yeah. And I'm going to heaven, and I know God. And I'm staying that way. Well, you're just simple. Yep. Unmixed, pure. I mean, we're not saying we have it all together, but I'm not letting this junk get into my life and mess up my relationship with God. Well, why don't you just check it out? Famous last words. Well, how are you going to know if you don't look into it? What if they're right? I already know my God, and I know what He said, and I don't have any questions about it. He said, shut it out, lest it mess you up. See, you're denying that there is a real God, and they're purely approaching it intellectually. Well, you have to understand it. What do you know? Do you know about this religion and that, and like this pompous, well, you don't know. You're just a simple person. I know God, and that's what I need to know. Do you know God? Because you act like there's no God. I know Him. I have a relationship with me. You can talk till you're blue in the face, but I'm not going to be listening. I'm going to have gone to the next room because I don't want to hear any of your junk. Amen. And there's this idea that, well, just reading about it won't hurt. Oh, yes, it will. Let me tell you something. God said it right here. Very emphatically, you don't inquire after their junk. You think you're going to, you don't follow this, don't, do not follow, fall into this trap. Well, I'm solid. I know what I believe. I'll just read some of these opposing views. Let me tell you, now you have to cast down those thoughts and that stuff that was not in your head. Now you think you're solid, but they brought up other ideas. You have to combat that and spend emotional time, emotional energy. The enemy has tricked people with those very ideas. They are not harmless. It is pride to think I am impervious. That's a lie. They have deceived people. Well, you're a solid Christian. You could look into these other things. You better be sure that it is your calling to look into that stuff. Because there is apologetics, and we took a class, and I have a book on world religions. And we did look at certain things to be able to know where they're coming from and to minister to them. But that was part of my training. And I'm not saying you just be stick your head in the sand. What I am saying is you be led by God and do not by the idea that somehow you can fiddle with stuff and it will not affect you. Anything that you put into your mind, you will have to deal with. And if you think I'm strong enough, that is pride. I'm strong enough. I can resist. I know. And then you put that idea in. Well, never considered that before. So you just gave Satan an inroad into your mind that he did not have before. And he's used that inroad into other people's minds. Now you read it. Now you're like, well, I never thought about that. Well, what if that's true? And now you're occupying your thoughts. You're occupying your time. You're occupying your emotions on something that will contribute nothing to your race, nothing to the path that God has for you. And worst case, you start going away from God. And this has happened to people. Eventually, they go away and say, I used to believe, but now I know better. I used to believe God, but now I've learned that was just a bunch of stories. You were deceived. God told Israel, don't do this. He said, do not put it in. You don't put it into your mind. You don't mess with it. It is not something to be trifled with. And we have such access to all this information. It is so easy to click around and, well, let's just see what so-and-so says about it. I can handle it. And I'm not even talking about other religions. I'm talking about that, but that's not it. In your faith, with what you've come to believe as a Christian. Well, I know people don't really believe in healing. I want to see what they have to say. You are polluting your mind with doubt and unbelief, and now you're going to have to cast down those thoughts. Well, people don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll just see what they're... Why don't they believe? I want to understand. You are going to now have to combat those thoughts. When you know the truth and you see it in the Bible, you lock it down and you don't entertain anything. You are already going to have to combat thoughts from the enemy trying to get you off your healing, trying to get you off the moving of the Spirit, trying to get you off being led by the Spirit of God. And now you're going to open the door and look at a bunch of stuff that is against it. I've heard people, thinking of one in particular at our retreat, our regional retreat, Rhema Ministerial Association, back in our region is the Northeast region, and our regional director is Pastor Sam Smucker in Pennsylvania. So we go there for a few days every August. And there was one gentleman that was sharing. And he started taking some classes from another denomination and things. And I'm not against anything that's not exactly, lined up with what we believe, but you have to, I'm saying that isn't published by Rhema or the Word of Faith. There are lots of good materials, but he went and started taking all these classes that these people criticize what we believe. I'm not ignorant. Go. Google Kenneth Hagin. There's all kinds of junk, and people are saying, oh, that's a cult, blah, blah. I know that. Great. You can find any good person on the face of the earth. You can find somebody that's saying bad things about them. That's not lost. That's not like, oh, do you know what people are saying? Yeah, and I don't read it. I know what they say. I'm not basing it on a man. I'm basing it on the Word.
Amen.
It's ignorance of the Word.
Amen.
You're saying so-and-so says this, but you don't know what you're talking about. It's not after a man. It's after the Bible. God used men and women to bring illumination about the Word. And then people get this misunderstanding. It's somehow about them. No, it's not. But if you're going to start looking at this, so back to this gentleman, he started, these people were flat out, they were teaching something else, but they were flat out attacking the faith message. And after a steady diet of that, he started just getting off. He started getting weak. He started getting to where he wasn't strong spiritually, and he realized, I've just been feeding on the wrong stuff. I've been listening to people who are critical, and I thought it wouldn't affect me. And he was anemic in that way, and spiritually. And he had to shut some stuff off. He said, I can't. They have some good things to say in some areas, but it comes with all this other stuff. I can't. It's affecting my faith. I don't have faith for anything. I'm talking like they do. Well, where's the money going to come from for this? And I used to be like, no, but God's going to provide, and he's told us to do it. And now it's like, well, just don't know. I'm talking just like them. Why? Because he's been feeding on it. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, I'm stronger than that. I would know. If you know what the Word says, I'm not saying what somebody said about the Word, but you know what the Bible says. You feed on what the Bible says, and you feed your faith. You're going to have enough problem just casting down thoughts from the enemy trying to shut you down, let alone stuff you bring in that's going to be arguments that were used to hijack other people's faith, and now you just open the door to work on yours. God said, don't do that. If you see something from the Bible and you are convinced it's true, shut the door.
Amen.
And stay, only feed your faith on things that are going to strengthen. If you've already come to believing this is true, I understand this is the Word of God, then you need to strengthen that. You do not need to examine the question. Let me give you an example. If you're married and you've been married for years, it's not the time to go back and start saying, well, that other person I dated, was that right? And, you know, I'm not sure about it. You passed that decision already.
Amen.
That's not the time to start asking that question. You asking that question, where is that? What good could come out of that? Well, I think I'll just contact this former girlfriend. That is a very bad idea. We'll just be friends. What good could come from that? I'm going to open the door. Is this not what God is saying? I'm a jealous God. That means you're supposed to have one God. Right? If you told men, your wife, well, you know, I'm going to go back and just talk to some of these ladies I used to date. That go over well? That's hurtful. Why? Why would you do that? And why would you do it with God? Well, I just want to understand. Same thing. Why would I want to understand? If I know Him. See, what people don't get when they're intellectual and trying to just make it all about intellectual, we know God.
Amen.
It's a relationship. I didn't come do it up here. It's not that I just think and I was deceived and I'm so weak-minded that I just need that crutch. I know Him. I've seen Him work. I have a relationship with Him. And it's not you may not have that. You obviously don't if you don't believe God. So you have not taken a step of faith. And us listening to people that don't have faith, you're going to get off. You're going to have the life they have. The Bible says the spiritual things cannot be understood by the natural man.
Amen.
So you're dealing with people that are not, have not taken faith, and they're all up here in the head, and they're telling you you need to be open-minded. Like you? I don't want what you have. No, there are some things we need to shut the door, and I'm past that. I believe it. Healing is for me. I've already seen it. I'm satisfied. I don't want to hear anything that's going to put doubt in it. I believe in the moving of the Spirit of God. I believe speaking in tongues is real. You start looking at stuff that people tell you, well, you're making that up. You're going to get inundated with thoughts that you always just made it up. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you it's not made up. It's by the Spirit of God, and it's in the Bible. It's not what I said. I can take people to Scripture after Scripture. What about that? What about that? What about that? I don't need to know your take on how you got into unbelief. I don't need to give the devil ammo to come at me of destroying all my, or coming with attacks, destroying what I've already been in faith about. You shut the door. Hallelujah. Praise God. Satan's tricky. He's tried to make us, you know, well, you just don't want, oh, so you're just one of those closed-minded, simple, backwards people, right? See, you see the trickery. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want to be like that. Okay, show me what you have. Con artist. Yep. Trick you. Trick you into opening up to something you already have. You know, he does this with marriages. Well, look around. I mean, you sure you have? It's wicked. No, you set your mind, your eyes on what is true and what God has done for you. And that, no, I don't want to look at anything else. I love God. God, I'm just going to look at your word, and I'm going to look at things that build faith, and I'm going to keep my eyes on you. I don't want to know about all these other things. And I'm telling you right now, even as I say that, our culture pops up and says, oh, but simple person, you don't know anything. Uneducated. Do you see how that's been built in? So that you don't want to be like that. What does that mean? You don't have strong faith. Because one of the things we talked about, and I'll mention again with simplicity, it's the opposite of duplicity. What does duplicity mean? Two. If you're going into a situation and you need to be assured that it's the Spirit of God and God will meet your needs, and you have something else nagging you over here, you have a hard time being in strong faith. Amen. Because, well, what about this and what about this? No, God said this. Yeah, but this said this. You just read that. And you're like, no, but it's just hitting you. We need to cut that junk out and say, no, I believe him. I'm not going to give the devil help to get me weak. I am going to be single-minded. I'm going to be full of faith and strong. And when I say go, it's going to go because my heart is settled that God's word's true in that area. Amen. 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 Praise God. Why don't you stand to your feet, please?